You'll see the title for today's talk is Submitting to One Another. And the whole verse is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it's quite a difficult verse, that, actually, for many of us, because of the word submit. So in today's culture, and sometimes for people from their personal experience, actually the word submit has such negative connotations, and it may not be the most helpful of translations. N.T. Wright chooses to translate it as being subject to, but there are other translators who translate it in a different way. So in the Message, it's translated as, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. I quite like that one. And then it says in the CEV, honour Christ and put others first. Nice short and snappy one there. That's quite good. And then a new translation that I've recently discovered, and I'm quite liking it. Bits are quite bizarre, and you just need to kind of leave those there. But actually, other bits of it are illuminating. And it says this, and out of reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. And then, now I didn't know there was such a thing as this, but in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, not sure how that happens, but it says, being submissive to one another. And I quite like that translation because it's more a position of active choice rather than a command there. So you'll see from today's reading, if you know anything about Ephesians 5, that we're not just stopping at verse 12, but we're going to venture in to this quite difficult passage. And it's a passage actually that I've struggled with over many years. And I've got to be honest, I have actually changed my reading of it over time. And who's to say I won't change it again? It's a difficult passage because our culture is not their culture. And it's also a difficult passage because it's a passage on marriage. And not everybody is married. Not everybody finds themselves in that situation. So as we look at this passage today, we're going to need a good dollop of grace, okay? And so if you disagree with what I'm saying, I prefer you didn't heckle me because that might put me off my stride, although I'm used to that at Church of Fire. They do a fair bit of heckling. But please do come and talk to me about it afterwards. I'll be at the back there, and I'd love to chat with you rather than just you get disgruntled with a few of your mates. Do come and talk to me about that. So we're going to have our Bible reading now. If you haven't got a Bible, wave a hand or two, and the team will come and give you a Bible, or you can whip out your phone at this point. I won't think you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, but do find your Bible apps. Oh, is that on? Yes.
All right. Today's word comes from Ephesians 5, verse 21 to 33, and it's on page 1111 of your Bibles. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, people have never hated their own bodies, but they feed and care for them just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much. So I'd like to start by us looking together at some of the broader themes that we find in Ephesians before we look at the fine detail of that passage that was read to us. So in your Bibles, if you'd like to go to Ephesians 1 verses 9 and 10, and it says this: He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Let me just read that end bit again. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So after the fracture of the fall, Jesus comes and he brings unity. He brings unity to the relationship between man and God, and he brings unity between heaven and earth. So in Jesus, both halves of creation are brought together in unity. And we're living in that time of the now and the not yet, aren't we? And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. We live in the now and the not yet. But in Jesus, there is unity in heaven and on earth. And sticking with the number 10, let's go to Ephesians 2:10. And here's another theme that works through Ephesians. And it's all about God's handiwork. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do in advance. Or as some have translated it, we are God's poem, or we are God's artwork. No two the same, all called to different works. Have a look around you. These are God's poems and God's artwork. Aren't they wonderful? God doesn't make mistakes. He's called each one of us to be different. He's given us different gifts and skills. And then to carry on the theme with the number 10, guess where we're going? 3:10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Or as this translation says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So when the church is the church, it is a sign to the world of how life was always designed to be. We have a huge responsibility, church, because when we live as Christ calls us to, that is a sign to the world. And we're going to nip into chapter 4 now, but not 10, we're going for 15. Because verse 15 talks about that we are Jesus' body. And as Jesus' body, we are encouraged to grow up in every way into him who is the head. So we are the body and Jesus is the head. Christ is the head of that body. And finally, on our whistle stop tour of Ephesians, we get to this verse. in the beginning of chapter 5. This is why it's said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So this is about the power of the resurrection. Because of the power of the resurrection, we are now alive and able to live this new life, this kingdom life, this resurrection life. It's because of the cross and it's because of the resurrection that we no longer have to live under those curses of the fall. They are not ours to live under. Christ has defeated those. Because of the cross and because of the resurrection, those curses are not ours to live under. So, because of Jesus and because of the resurrection, we see heaven and earth brought together. And in chapter 2, Paul talks about Jew and Gentile coming together. So he says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall. So heaven and earth are coming together. Jew and Gentile are coming together. And in the Bible reading that we've just had read for us, man and woman are coming together. So all that was splintered at the fall is now coming together in Jesus. So let's go back to our key verse. Submit to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. How are we able to submit, to serve one another, to put one another first? And the one that I struggle with, as somebody who's quite feisty, is to actually lay down my rights for somebody else. Unsurprisingly, the answer, because we're in church, is Jesus. The answer is in Jesus. You see, Jesus was secure in who he was, and Jesus was secure in whose he was. And because of that, he was able to race to the bottom. He was able to take the place of a servant and wash his disciples' feet. In fact, his whole ministry, he lived in an upside down manner. He lived the upside down kingdom. He lived it for all to see, but with an invitation for all to join in too. You see, the world works, doesn't it? It works on getting ahead, getting your own way. It's a race to the top, and it doesn't matter who you trample on to get there. But the kingdom is so different. It's all about serving. It's all about laying down your rights. It's a race to the bottom. Now, in our youth group at Church at Five that I was leading the other day, we were doing about Jesus washing our feet and servanthood. And we tried to get the kids to wash each other's feet without much success. But hey, there was a lesson in that too. There always is. But we started off the session by playing upside down snakes and ladders. So it was a race to the bottom rather than a race to the top. And actually, we all found that really, really difficult, because it's bred in us, isn't it, to race to the top rather than to the bottom. So when you get home, just dust out your old snakes and ladders and have a go of racing down to the bottom with it. It isn't as easy as you think, because we are so conditioned to this rather than this. So once Paul has set these kingdom principles of submitting to one another, once he's set those in place, he then goes on to give us a number of models of how that's worked out in a Christian household. And one of those models, but not the only model, is within marriage. Because actually, if we'd carried on our reading, we would have also seen that there's a model around parents and children, and also about slaves and masters. But if we're to fully take on Paul's call for us to submit to one another, which he himself embodied in Christ as the head of the body, then how do we read Paul's model on Christian marriage? Now, I'd like to suggest that we could read this as a model for first century Christian marriage, not necessarily the model for a 21st century Christian marriage. And I'd like to say that in light of the overarching commandment to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I'm not saying that in the 21st century we have got marriage right, because you only need to look at the divorce statistics, and friends, in the church, they're not much better, to know that we have things to learn and to grow in still. But I think we need to look at Paul's model for a Christian marriage as a huge leap forward in the first century. You see, it's a culture where women were second-class citizens. It's a culture where women were viewed as unclean, and also that they would make others, and especially men, unclean as well. And so Paul calls for husbands to provide leadership, covering, protection, that same kind of covering and protection that Jesus gives. Actually, he calls husbands to do that in that culture. And that was a high and revolutionary calling. You know, people often think Paul is a woman basher. He really isn't in any sense. What he's asking men to do here is a really high and amazing calling, especially considering the cultural context that they found themselves in. But by and large, in our 21st century Western culture, women aren't viewed as second-class citizens. We aren't viewed as unclean. So might we look at Paul's model of marriage as a cultural one? Should our model be one of wholly embracing, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, knowing that we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works? Should we not share leadership in marriage according to giftings and skills that God has given us, using God's gifts and skills to complement each other? Do you know, in my marriage, and any of you who know Mark will know that Mark is not a shrinking violet by any shape or form. But, you know, we make decisions together as a couple. And in our marriage, we lead in different areas because we are gifted in different areas. And I would not make a decision without Mark agreeing with it. And Mark would not make a decision without me agreeing with it. We would wait, actually, till some consensus came out of it. So, might a model that recognises our equality as children of God with different gifts and skills given to us by God, but not based on gender, but based on the good works that he has got planned for us, with an understanding that Jesus is the head of the body. Might that be a cultural model that would fit us better today? But let's keep the main thing the main thing. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So whether male or female, whether married or single, this high calling is for all of us in the body of Christ. In our relationships with one another, we are not to conform to the world, but we are to live those countercultural kingdom lives, submitting to one another. We're called to race to the bottom, to serve, to put others' needs before our own, to lay down our rights. So, in what way is Jesus asking you to submit to one another today? What's he calling you to submit? In what way and to who? It's going to be different for all of us. And so I'm going to read this second half of the prayer of St. Francis. And then we're going to have a few moments of silence, asking the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us for what we need to submit and lay down our rights about. I found this prayer really helpful this week. I was really struggling with being understood. And then I realised actually I needed to put my rights down to be understood and to pick up the responsibility of understanding others instead. And then once we've had that time of quiet and reflecting, then I'll read it again once more, and the band will then lead us in a final song. So if the words help you, look at the words. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is dying that we are born to eternal life. Let's keep a few moments quiet. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.